Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. A young man approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to gain eternal life?" He answered him, "Why do you ask me about the good? There's only one who is good, and if you wish to enter eternal life, into life, keep the commandments." He asked him, "Which ones?" And Jesus replied, "You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All of these I've observed. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. So the Gospel of the Lord. I always think of the rich young man as the one to whom Jesus looked on and loved. But only Matthew identifies him as young, and he omits Jesus' loving response. But I can just picture the generous, attractive, idealistic young person approaching Jesus, and then as he discovers what this gaining of eternal life will entail, he turns away in disappointment. But we also recall in Jewish tradition that an abundance of material goods was a sign of God's blessing on the righteous. Yet there are warnings in Hebrew literature about the dangers of wealth, so the book of Sirach, "The love of gold will not justify a man, and the fool will be led astray by it." One also thinks of the Essene community at Qumran and their austere lifestyle. In our Catholic tradition, the present texts have often been used to make a contrast between the life of the ordinary Christian and those who have a so-called vocation, take vows and become a monk or a nun or follow a priestly vocation. But this sort of thinking isn't really present in Matthew. For the church at that time, to be a Christian, was to be involved in the spread of the gospel. The young man raises the question of where our hearts and our treasures lie. In a wonderful book called The Mystery of Love, Rabbi Mark Gaffney tells a story that I find very helpful. It's about Lindsay, a little girl of 8 years of age. She was in the toy store with her daddy, and she was just captivated by a fake string of plastic pearls that cost $2.75. Well, how could you resist? So her father bought them for her. Very rapidly, this became her favorite toy. And some weeks later, when her father came to read a bedtime story, he playfully asked if she loved Daddy. Oh, yes. Well, would you give Daddy her string of pearls? Oh, no, she said. But you can have my rag doll, Missy. So he relented. And then another time he asked if she loved him. He said, "Oh, Daddy, you know I love you." "Well, then, would you give me the pearls?" And again she said, "No, but you could have Randy, my toy horse." Later on, he arrived to find to read and found her in tears, holding out her hand. "Daddy, here." Well, it was the pearls. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a blue velvet box and gave her some real pearls. He'd had them there all along. He was just waiting to replace the plastic pearls with the real thing. But this story stopped me cold. So much of life can be artificial. In my experience, I've been astonished by God's generosity, usually not with great things, but with ordinary, small activities. My giving up of the artificial usually has to do with a deeper appreciation of God's loving presence in the most ordinary situations of life, and often among the most improbable people. I need to get real over my acceptance of God's astonishing goodness. Let the love arise when I did not expect it. Let healing and forgiveness find a way where my best efforts came up short. My world of gold is one of small comforts and very little risk. Daily, God breaks open my expectations and preferences, just like the rising of the sun. Even now, I can't merit the kingdom, but I can let go of my world of illusion and control. And by setting aside my small preferences and fears, I can enter the daylight of God's world and experience the surprise and full scope of God's generous love. This sort of liberation usually means I have to move down, become more present to the blessings and opportunities of everyday life. Yes, Lord, I would like to follow you.